I do start my day with a cup of coffee as much as I don't really care for it. And my day goes very similar to the way my coffee tastes. And today, it's a little bit bitter.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird. If you like that sort of thing.
Hello. Can I get you anything?
Whatever.
Oh, it's bitter. Coffee's bitter, Jay. My coffee's bitter. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show. Yeah, that's what it is.
Back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Thank you very much, Julie. Welcome to the program. How are you today? Feeling good? How's your little baby? Is your little baby feeling good? How's my little listener? How's my little listener today? When you're little listener. Sorry, I'm talking down to you. I don't mean to.
Aww.
Yeah, I know. It's cute. It's cute. It's one of the things I could never stand. I guess as a baby, you like people when they talk cute to you, when they talk baby talk to you. You know, how's my little baby today? How you feeling today, my little baby? How's my little baby today? Hi, cutie. Hi, cutie. How's my little baby? Hi, cutie. And then you get a little bit older and you become like a teenager and your grandparents talk to you that way. Your parents don't. Your parents yell at you. You son of a bitch. That's the parents. But the grandparents, they still talk to you like you're a baby, even though you're like 18 years old. Who the hell are you? Did you do well in school today? Did you do well in school? Would you like a piece of candy? Do you want a piece of candy?
Aww.
Yeah, they still do that. And then you get to be like, you get to be a young adult, and you start meeting people, and you start having relationships. And your boyfriend, your girlfriend, or your partner, whatever your sexual orientation may be, starts talking baby talk again. Now it's baby talk. Hello, Snookums. Hi, Snooky. How are you today? You looking good. You're pretty today. You're a pretty little girl.
Aww.
Hi, you baby. Hi, baby. Good morning, baby. They do that. And then you get older, you know, and it's still that way. Did you have a nice sleep last night, baby? Hi, baby. Baby, can you put the air conditioner unit in the window today? Because it's a little bit hot today, baby. Baby, would you do that for me, baby? Would you do that for me, baby? Would you do that for me, baby, baby?
Aww.
Yeah. They use baby talk. You start using baby talk to get people to do what you want. Oh, can you, when you go to the store today, could you pick up an extra box of cereal for me? Just one more tiny little box of cereal. Could you do that for me? Could you do that for me today? Yeah, I know. It never stops. I at a point in my life, I started to resent baby talk because you're talking down to me. Down, way down. If you want, could you put the air conditioner in the window today? Would you put the air conditioner in? Could you do that for me today? Drives me nuts. Wouldn't it be weird if that was what they did at your place of employment where you work? Johnson, the files. We need to have the files put away today because we got some more files coming in tomorrow. Could you please file all these things for me today? Put them in the file cabinet according to filing methods. Could you do that for me today? Could you do that for me, Johnson? Come on, put the files away. Come on, baby. Put your Could you do that for me today? Because I'm your boss and I'm asking you to do it. Could you do that to me? They don't do that. They don't talk to you like that. That's not the real world. If you're speeding on the highway, speed limit is like 60 miles an hour. You're going 85. And a cop pulls you over. With one of the wearing the cop boots and two holsters and two guns and a state trooper hat, you know, and they walk up to your car and they go, would you roll your window down, please? Yes, officer. You were going 85 miles an hour in a 60 mile an hour or a speed limit. You want to slow down? You want to slow down for me just a little bit? Could you please slow down just a little bit for me? Come on, come on, just a little bit. 20 miles an hour slower, that's all I'm asking you. Could you slow down for me? Oh, you're not going to slow down, huh? You don't have a license? You have no insurance and you have no license? All right, step out of the car. Would you step out of the car for me? Come on, please, please step out of the car for just a minute so I can handcuff you. Come on, just step out of the car for just a second and I'll handcuff you and it'll all be over. Come on, get out of the car for the big trooper. Come on now. Come on, put your hands behind your back. Come on now.
Yes, of course, you could have a podcast show host who's congenial and conversational and talks to you like you're both on the same level and discussing the issues of the day. But come on, isn't having a grumpy old bastard who hates just about friggin' everything way better? This is the Ron Van Dam Show.
So I drove down to New York City. I'm in the Boston area. That's where I live. And I'm from New York City.
Oh, good for you, Ron.
Yeah, okay. From the New York City area. I'm a New Yorker. And every once in a while, I go down there to visit friends or to go to various things of entertainment value. Because Boston thinks it's a world-class city. It's not. It's a wannabe world-class city. It doesn't come close to it. It doesn't. They don't even have... They have a subway system, and it never works. If it's like 2 degrees below freezing, like 30 degrees or something, the trains can't run. Hey, how come the train's not showing up?
It's just cold out. The trains get chilly.
It's ridiculous. It's a ridiculous city. The trains don't even run past like 10 o'clock at night. Hey, can't get home.
Sorry, no trains after 10 o'clock. Everyone's in bed. What?
World-class city, my ass. You want to go to a restaurant? There aren't any of them. There's some. It's a city. There's some restaurants, but nothing like New York, man. But yet Boston is almost as expensive as New York City is. But it sucks. Now, I like Boston. I've lived here for quite a few years. And it's very, very nice. And the people are... Okay. But it's no New York City. Never compare yourself. Don't ever compare yourself to New York City. You can't do it. That sucker is the New York City is the definition of it. So when I want to see a concert or some type of artist in performance, go to a really good restaurants, you know, have a really good, I'd go to New York City because that's where it's happening, man. So went down there to see a concert, which was okay. There was snow on Friday night and into Saturday morning, and my concert was Saturday evening at 7:30. And this concert was taking place at a cathedral on 110th Street in Manhattan. It was Amsterdam and 110th Street. It was the Cathedral of St. John or something, or St. something or other. A huge cathedral, like 10 stories tall. 10 stories tall, that's a huge cathedral. And one of my favorite rock groups from way back is Procol Harum. You're probably not familiar with them. It's a rock group, but they do orchestrations. And Gary Brooker, who is the lead singer and the composer and the writer and the whole bit, he was performing in this cathedral, and it was an incredible show. And I wanted to get there, and I wanted to see it. And I made it down there in record time. So I'm down there, and when I'm in New York City, one of my biggest passions, and this is, I know it's sick before I even say it. When someone says, Ron, in New York City, on every street corner just about, there is a Sabretz hot dog stand. It's a little cart with an umbrella on it. They have in some other cities, but it's not as good. And these are steamed hot dogs that are steamed in a cart all day. And it's probably death-defying. It's the evil Knievel of street food, because it sits in the cart all day. We're not talking about a refrigerated restaurant here. We're talking about a guy in a cart who can't speak English. What do you want? You want a hot dog? What do you want? You want a hot dog? How many two hot dog? What do you think you drink? What do you want on it? What do you want a hot dog with? I can't understand what they're saying. But I know why I'm there. They know why I'm there. I'm there for the hot dog. And I feel that I would take a 4.5-hour trip just to have one of these hot dogs. They're horrible for you. Hot dogs are horrible for you. Your body, when you ingest a hot dog, actually says to itself, they're trying to kill me. They are trying to kill me. But they're so good. And it's not just the hot dog on the bun, the steamed hot dog in the steamed bun. It's also the experience of standing in the street and eating a hot dog. Ron, what are you, crazy? No, there's something about standing in a street and eating a hot dog. I've never had a hot dog in the bathroom. I never would. Much less eat any kind of food in the bathroom. But a hot dog, I consider it. There's something about these hot dogs, man. It's just, you don't sit down and eat them. You stand up in a strange place and you eat them. Ron, what about a backyard barbecue hot dog? Yeah, you don't even know what you're talking about. You don't even know what you're talking about. I'm talking about a street vendor hot dog standing on a New York City street corner eating a hot dog. That's what it's about. But that's not all. That's not all. And I'm craving one right now. And if you've had one of these, you'd understand what I'm talking about. If you never have, you don't know what I'm talking about at all. You say, why is he going so crazy about a hot dog? Because it is so crazy. It is crazy. But it's not just a hot dog. They put this onion concoction sauce on the hot dog. On the hot dog. It's like, you know, you put sauerkraut on a hot dog, you put mustard on a hot dog. No. This onion sauce, it's a chopped onion, and it's got some corn syrup in the mixture, some tomato sauce, a little vinegar, and the corn syrup acts like sugar, and it makes it, and then some red pepper flakes. Those are the ingredients. And you're saying, Ron, why don't you can make this at home if you're so enthused about this to the point of orgasm, quite obviously. Because it takes like an hour and a half to make it. This has to simmer for at least 45 minutes. And then you add the corn syrup and a little bit of cornstarch, and it starts to thicken after this amount, and you let it go for another half hour. It's about an hour and 15 minutes of simmering. And it takes that long for the sauce to reach this thickness consistency. Not too thick, not too soupy, but just right. And the onions are absorbing all of this through this process. And you put them on the hot dog, and man alive, you won't believe the taste. It's Sabretts, S-A-B-R-E-T-T-S, I believe it is. These hot dog vendors are all over Manhattan. Don't know about other places, I'm not sure. And I don't think it would be the same in another city. I just don't think so. And you've got to have this onion sauce on it. Now, they sell the onion sauce online. It's very expensive. It's like $22 a jar because they know people just love it. But it's still nothing like it to have it come out of a street vendor's cart. And they put this onion sauce on this. It's a skinny little hot dog. Beautiful casing, little snap when you eat the dog. It's an amazing adventure. And I would go to New York just for the hot dog experience. I'll tell you something I did once, and it makes me a freak of nature. One time I went down to New York, and I said to myself, I'm going to spend the day, and I did, walking the streets of Manhattan. It was like a marathon hot dog day. I started out on 34th Street and Broadway, and I had a hot dog from a stand. Good. And then I walked up Broadway to 66th Street, 35 blocks just about, and I stopped at another stand, and I had another hot dog. Ladies and gentlemen, in the space of this day, I had 5 hot dogs, but walked approximately 2 miles between every hot dog. Now, there were plenty of hot dog stands. I got tons of exercise. I ate 5 wonderful hot dogs. It was one of the best days of my life. Ron, you are a freak of nature. It was a mission. It was a fun mission. I felt great, exercised, eating the dogs, loved it. Space your dogs. That's what I'm saying, space your dogs. Now, here's the point of the whole story. I go down to New York. It's snowing. I get there in record time. But during the entire trip, I'm saying to myself, when I get down there, I'm going to have me one of them Sabretts hot dogs from the hot dog stand. And I get down there, and I'm staying at 77th Street and Broadway at a hotel called the Hotel Bella Claire. Very, very nice. Very nice. And I get there just as it's getting dark at about 4:30 in the afternoon on Saturday. And the concert's at 7:30. And I want a Sabretts hot dog as an appetizer before I have dinner, before I go to the concert. I couldn't find any. What happened to them? Where are they? Apparently, in this particular neighborhood, they don't have hot dog stands. You got to walk up to the Museum of Natural History, Central Park West and 77th, where they have some of these hot dog stands. But I didn't have time. The next day, and as I see the concert and the whole bit, and it's great, I stay in the hotel, and the next day, I want a hot dog. I couldn't find any stands. Now, I had to get out of the city by 11 o'clock in the morning, because I had something to do Sunday night here back in the Boston area. And I find out the hot dog stands don't open up until like after 11 o'clock. You can't find it before 11 o'clock because, oddly enough, people don't have hot dogs before 11 o'clock in the morning. Odd. So the bottom line is, and it's so inconsequential to you, but so important to me, I spend this entire trip, and it takes me like almost 6 hours to get home because it's raining on the way home on Sunday. 6 hours, 10 hours on the road, overnight in New York City, and I hadn't had one hot dog, not one, and I'm pissed. Making that entire trip for something that I love, that hot dog, and I couldn't get one. I don't know whether my coffee is bitter, or perhaps it's me. Maybe I'm bitter. Anyway, I saw Procol Harum. I saw they only did like 4 or 5 songs because there were other groups, and I was very disappointed. I thought it was just them. Here's Procol Harum.
Some live in mansions, some live in holes. Some eat from silver, and some eat from gold. Some sift through garbage, sleep in the cold. Sleep out in the cold. Stretch to the stars. I saw a deep river, all choked up with cars. And a baby in a cradle, and a cat with a cream, and an old English churchyard, and an old English dream.
Sure, I like a good burger, but for me, sometimes the best part of the burger gets left on the grill. That's why I'm headed to Burger Guy to try their new Big Gristle Deluxe. A full half pound of hand-scraped grill-hardened gristle, machine-pressed into a greasy patty, and smothered with Burger Guy's signature something like cheese sauce. And for a limited time, it's just $5.99 with a metric ton of fries and keg of soda. Sound good? Yeah, no kidding, huh? Hey, I'll see you at Burger Guy.
For a limited time only at participating Burger Guy restaurants. Please consult with your physician before ingesting reconstituted meat byproducts such as gristle. Burger Guy's something like cheese sauce has not been entirely approved for human consumption by the FDA.
I love to cook, man. I love to cook. I love to talk about food. I love to talk about hot dogs. I love to eat hot dogs. My favorite kind of cuisine is actually Chinese cuisine. What, Ron? Yes, it is. And not your egg rolls and, your crab ragoon, which is fried dough with cream cheese inside. No, it's not that. It's the real Chinese food, a little bit of beef, a little bit of protein, a little bit of chicken, a little bit of pork, and a lot of vegetables, and maybe some rice noodles, and some interesting sauces, and things like that. That's Chinese food to me! So I was thrilled when I was offered on the program here today to speak to Mr. Chen. So Lum Chen is... He's great. Keelung Chan. Keelung, how are you?
I'm fine, Ron. Good morning.
Good morning. Keelung Chan is a very successful author, actually 17 cookbooks with his partner they blow me away.
Yeah.
I actually have your latest one in front of me. It is looking like a Bible of food to me. Oh my God, it's a beautiful book. It's not only, I'm blown away by this book. It's the kind of book that you don't put in a cupboard. You display this sucker because it's beautiful. I mean, it's the gold pages full of information, some beautiful pictures. I mean, anyway, see, I love food. Can you tell that I love food?
Yes.
You wouldn't know. Okay. This is both basic food and extremely elegant food as well. An incredible cuisine. 17 cookbooks, I understand. Is that right?
Yes, that is correct. This is our 17th one.
Wow. How did you start in this whole endeavor?
We started to write cookbooks about 6 years ago. Oh. After our retirement, my wife and I retired from our respective career.
Oh.
And then we said, well, what do we do now? Cooking, of course, has always been in the family tradition.
Yeah.
Starting with my father, who was a very famous and successful cookbook writer. So that sort of runs in the family. So after we retired, we said, well, what now? And the publisher in Hong Kong came to us and say, why don't you write down what you know? Because, people really do want to know about it.
Yes.
So we wrote our first book in, I think, 2010. And it got sold out in 25 days, had to be reprinted. So the publisher came back to us and said, please write another book. So we said, okay. So we did the second book in 6 months and got sold out in 30 days again. So anyway, there's no return after that. And we kept writing books. So 17 books in like 6 years.
Is this latest one a compilation? Because it's huge.
Well, the latest one, part of it was taken from the many cookbooks we have already published.
Yep.
Okay. But many of the others were recipes we created through our travels in China. We lived in China for quite a number of years,
uh-huh.
and we were able to travel almost everywhere, I think except with the exception of Tibet, because it's altitude, high altitude.
Right.
But otherwise, we've been to all corners of China, and we were able to experience all kinds of food. So during our travels, we were able to write down a lot of information on what people eat, what markets, and what do they sell in the marketplace, and so on. So we have a pretty good foundation before we start on this this big venture of writing this huge cookbook.
Well, it is amazing because we're not just talking about the food of China. We're talking about a tour of China. There are many regions and different cuisines and cultures within China itself, which a lot of Americans may not understand, but there are different food cultures within that one country, which is kind of amazing in itself. In the United States, we have the same thing, but all those foods will eventually kill you. But in China, it's a little bit different. Now, you talk about in the book you can do takeout food, or you can actually very simply and quite elegantly make the same food at home in a healthier and more enchanting manner.
Yes, Yes, I think that is so, because the book is written for the home cooks.
Yep.
Okay. You know, a lot of people have the fear of cooking Chinese, you know, when they go out to eat Chinese food in a restaurant. They say, oh, this sounds, looks too complicated. You know, it's not something you can do at home. But all the cookbooks we had written were for the home cooks.
Uh-huh.
So especially for this one, because what we would like to do is to have the non-Chinese people start cooking Chinese food. So our recipes are very detailed and very easy to follow,
yes,
without requiring any very special ingredients or appliances and so on.
Uh-huh.
So I would say almost anyone can start cooking Chinese just based on what you've got at home.
Yeah, and but there's different twists that you can put on it to make it very, very luxurious in a sense. I mean, I can picture doing a dinner party and using your cookbook to come up with some incredibly impressive dishes.
Oh, yes, because you can easily lay out, let's say, a 10-course dinner.
Yes.
If you are hosting, let's say, 10 friends for dinner, you can easily put out a 10-course dinner. And yes, it is not all that difficult to do. Contrary to what some of these people may think.
Yeah.
Chinese food is actually fairly straightforward. It doesn't require any special skills. Okay, you just have to follow instructions, and then you come up with pretty good Chinese food, I would say.
That's incredible. Now, the book is available everywhere at this point. It's been released, I assume.
Yes.
Okay.
That is true.
Okay. Do you live in the United States now, or do you live in China? Where do you live?
I live in Hong Kong now.
Oh, is that where you are now?
Yes, that's where I am now. So it is nighttime here.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Well, just out of interest sake, what time is it there?
It is 8:45.
8:45 at
night. We are 13 hours ahead of you.
Yes, my goodness, halfway around. Okay.
Yes.
I got to put my personal seal of excitement on this particular cookbook. I do love to cook. It's a creative art form. It's an enjoyable art form. It's a healthy art form, and you have captured that in this book. It's incredible. It's called China the Cookbook, which is pretty much as straightforward as you can get. That's China the Cookbook. And that's available everywhere, I assume, like Amazon and all those book places.
Yes. Yes, that's correct.
Do you have a website that people can follow you and keep up with what you and your wife are doing?
No, we don't have a website.
Oh.
We have a Facebook account, but that doesn't...
Well, you don't want to talk about it. Okay, fine. All right. Well, continued success to you. I hope we can talk again, and thank you so much for your time today with us.
Thank you very much, Ron.
Thank you, Keelan. Bye-bye.
Right, bye-bye.
You are listening to The Ron Van Dam Show, but you need to know that it's okay. We all make mistakes, and we must learn to forgive ourselves. The universe wants us to be happy, whether or not we listen to The Ron Van Dam Show. Nothing is forever, including The Ron Van Dam Show. You will be fine. The universe will try to forget about this one.
Wow. Kind of hits home. The holidays are not far away. Look, there they are in the distance. Temperature's supposed to warm up just a bit for it. And there's plenty of last-minute shoppers, including myself. I'm still not in the mood. I know it snowed a little bit in the Northeast, but I'm still not in the mood. When I see a person dressed up in regular street clothing wearing a Santa hat, I get a little upset. If you're going to wear a Santa hat, put the whole damn costume on. Come on. Why just the hat? What, am I supposed to be excited because you're wearing a hat? What's supposed to be my reaction? I guess I am a curmudgeon. I suppose I am.
Anyway, I do have some more holiday shopping to do for people that I don't quite care for that much, but yet they'll probably get me something, so I need to probably get them something. And this can go on infinitum until I blow my brains out with this stuff. So I need to do some holiday shopping, and I don't know what to get them. I'm thinking of a dustbuster. But they get expensive. You know, when I was growing up, if something was a dollar, it was a lot. Something that was $5, that was considerable. A $10 item? Oh, I'll never be able to get that. And it's amazing how inflation has changed things. Where we think of a $5 or $10 item as being a bottle of water, man. Just a bottle of water. Maybe a beverage. And $50 becomes not so much, not so bad. $100? Still not so bad. Now, for a lot of people, that's not touchable. But it's just so strange. And sometimes I remark on that. I remember being a child. I didn't have a job as a child. I wasn't a seven-year-old child who owned a company. No, I didn't have a job. So yeah, no, I didn't have money. But I know that the price of stuff was all in the $5 to $10 range. And above $10, a lot of people just didn't get it. People didn't buy it. Now $100 is like, all right, fine. $100, okay, I'll get it for you. What? Toys are $100. How can a toy be $100? Some toys are more than $100. What? It's a toy. Don't you understand the meaning of the word? It's a toy. You play with it. Get it. I don't get it. I don't get it. Anyway, it is time to do some holiday shopping. And for last minute stuff, Erica Sandberg is here. Help me, Erica. Erica Sandberg joins us now. She's the editor at large for creditcardguide.com and vice columnist for creditcards.com. And she also built the Empire State Building. That was quite an achievement for yourself.
It really wasn't that hard.
Okay, fine. All right. We're talking about the last-minute holiday shopping. And why do people wait till the last minute to do that?
It's just so natural. Everything gets in the way. You've got kids. You have life. You've got holiday parties. You've got work. Everything just combines together to create this last minute, oh my gosh, I haven't done anything.
Yeah.
And now I need to do everything.
Yeah.
It happens every year. Don't beat yourself up. It's normal.
I haven't finished yet or even kind of done half of it because I don't feel like I'm in the spirit until my back is against the wall. And now I'm feeling that way. So here we go. So what are some of the biggest mistakes that people make when they're buying gifts for people?
Well, a lot of it does have to do with overcharging. You really need to respect your personal financial parameters. Don't overdo it this year, please. I mean, I'm going to give you permission to be cheap.
Okay.
Don't try and bump up people's gifts. This happens all the time where you think, okay, well, I've got a $10 limit per person. That's fine. That's up to you. But then you buy it and you think, okay, it's too cheap.
Yeah.
It looks lame. And then you buy something else. So it's so common to do that. Just don't do it this year.
Okay. All right. That's a good one. Are there still deals available? I know the Black Friday and Cyber Monday and whatever you call these things have already passed. Does that mean that the prices have gone up or can I still find some deals?
This is no longer a case where each day has its own special deal. There are deals all the time. There are deals up until Christmas Day. They're out and available. Free shipping definitely has evaporated to a certain extent, but there are some great retailers out that are still doing free shipping. So check them out. In fact, I was just on Bed Bath & Beyond, and there's free shipping for certain area codes. So go look to your favorite retailer and see what they've got going. There are many who are doing it.
Okay.
As far as the deals in stores, oh, plenty. Just go take a look, and you're going to see deep, deep discounts.
Yeah. I would assume that when it gets closer to Christmas that some of the stores go, uh-oh, I got a lot of inventory still left. I got to get rid of this fast.
You got it. Anything that's red and green, it's on sale.
Okay. Right, cool. All right. Maybe I'm tired of getting the traditional stuff like the, you know, the tie and the cologne and, you know, and maybe, you know, everything is kind of getting stale. What's something creative and different or something that people appreciate that I might have not, you know, thought of before?
Well, these are my absolute favorite ideas. The first one is to have a party. You know, instead say, hey, this year, I'm just going to have a big blow up. I'm going to hire a DJ. I am going to maybe have somebody come and serve hors d'oeuvres. And this is something that you can plan for in the future, mm-hmm. which is fantastic. Buys you some time. So, you know, you have a card and just say, this is an invitation to a party for you. And then invite all your friends, all your family members, and you're done. You don't have to buy a single gift. So that's one. One of my favorite gifts that was ever given to me was my younger sister, Hillary, she hired a instructor to come and give a self-defense class.
Oh.
And that was amazing. And you get everybody on that list who's actually, you know, in that room to come and participate. Really, really cost-effective and easy.
Okay. Those are some different ideas. I would have never thought of those. Now, you actually, you've written a book about taking care of your money and all that kind of stuff, I understand. Is that right?
I did. In fact, the new version is coming out this year, which is really exciting. It's called Expecting Money, The Essential Financial Plan for New and Growing Families. And it really is all about how to plan for that first year of your child's life. Actually, yeah. Not just first year, but first the pregnancy, the first year, the coming year.
Yeah.
It's so expensive to have a child. So this is just one way of getting it all, knowing what you're in for.
Yeah, my son had their first child about 6-7 months ago, and he said to me, he says, I'm excited about it, but I don't know how I'm going to do this for the future with the college or even buying the diapers, and he says, I need some help. I mean, he kind of freaked a little bit about the financial responsibility now is not just for yourself, it's now for a whole family. It's kind of a different burden on both the husband and the wife.
It's so true. And it actually cuts both ways. Kids are more expensive than you think that they are,
yeah.
and they don't have to be as expensive as you fear.
Yeah.
So it's really, you aren't the one who is in control as the parent, but realize there are going to be some costs that are going to blow you out of the water. So this is the time.
Okay. All right. Well, that's a good book then to pick up if you're in that boat. And I think everybody kind of will be at some point in their lives. All right. Well, you've kind of given me a Bible of living here, which you've done, Erica. So where do I go for more information?
Well, definitely come and check me out. I love questions. I love comments. ericasandberg.com. If you want to get your credit rating in order, this is the time. Hey, it's the new year. You know, this is your time to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Please come to adventureswithmoney.com, and you will find all the information you need on a course to get that credit rating up.
Huh.
This is the time.
Huh. Okay. Well, a lot of information there, more than we have time to talk about in this this window of time. But I wish you a happy holiday, and thanks for the advice, Erica.
Thank you. It was a pleasure speaking with you. Have a great holiday.
Great. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, there you have it. There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. No pressure. No pressure whatsoever on you. I'm out of time for today. I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new show. Until then, I wish you peace. Bye, everybody. Bye now. Bye. Wave to me. Wave to me. That's better. Everybody sing along. You know the words. There aren't any.